1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ the firstfruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. And we continue over to verse 53 to verse 57. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Is life a comedy or is it a tragedy? Now, by asking that, I'm not asking how many laughs do you have in your life, how many jokes do you know, or do people play practical jokes on you, or even how many tragedies there are in your life. The question is actually about the whole shape of life. Glenn Scrivener, in his book Divine Comedy, asks this question. He says, what is the shape of life? Because when people tell stories, there are roughly two kind of shapes to stories. They can either be comedies or tragedies. A comedy is one which starts off good, but there's some problem, some difficulty, and ends positive again. That's a comedy. A tragedy shape goes the other way. It's more of a sad face, as it were. It has some good bits in it, but actually overall, in the end, it ends up with complete disaster. Comedies are like that, tragedies are like that. In Shakespeare's plays, tragedies tend to end up with lots of dead bodies. Comedies end up with, well, weddings generally. What about life? What's the shape of life? Well, most people will say that life is, well, a tragedy. Because however many good times you have in your life, however many pleasurable times, however many great events there are, weddings and celebrations and birthdays and great fun times with your family, however many good times there are, well, it ends in death. And therefore, life is a tragedy. And therefore, people often draw the conclusion that life actually is meaningless. Glenn Scrivener quotes from an American-Canadian theoretical physicist and cosmologist. His name is Professor Lawrence Krauss, and he says this: the picture that science presents to us is uncomfortable, because what we have learned is that we are more insignificant than we ever could have imagined. And in addition, it turns out that the future is miserable. Well, not a very cheerful chap. But you can understand the conclusion that he comes to. If life is a tragedy, if we just live and die, well, we're just insignificant. What's the point of life? But the Bible wonderfully tells a different story. And it all focuses in on the resurrection of Jesus. We've been thinking about that for the last couple of weeks. A couple of weeks ago, we thought about whether the resurrection really happened. Was it a historical event? Did Jesus physically rise from the dead? And we thought about the evidence for that. And if you didn't see that sermon, do go back and watch that one, because it's so important. Did Jesus really actually rise from the dead? And then last week, we started to think about the implications of the resurrection. And we thought about the first one, which is sins forgiven. And this week, we're thinking about the second implication, which is more resurrections. That's the implication that Paul brings out in the passage that we had read. So have a look at verse 20 of the passage. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Well, first fruits, what are first fruits? In the Bible, if people were growing crops, the first fruits was the first bit that they harvested, and they were to bring it to the Lord and offer it to the Lord, recognizing that all they had came from Him. But the first fruits also recognized that there was going to be more. The first fruits implies there's going to be much more of a harvest. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying Jesus risen from the dead is a first fruits. There are going to be many more. But how? How does Jesus rising from the dead mean there are going to be any more who are going to rise from the dead? After all, there are lots of incredible things that people have done that I can't do. If you're not sure, just have a look at the Guinness World Records. Look up some videos of them. There are some incredible things people have done. One video that I saw showed someone doing a Rubik's Cube while jumping up and down on a pogo stick, or doing backflips while breathing fire, or doing all kinds of amazing things where you go, I'm not going to be able to do that. How is Jesus rising from the dead going to mean that more people are going to rise from the dead? Well, maybe he's a bit like a pioneer. Could he be like a pioneer? You know, like an explorer who goes and explores and finds a whole new country and then comes back and tells people, this is how to get there. I'll show you how to get there. Or maybe he's like a coach. You know, like a sports coach who will tell you the things that you've got to do. Maybe he says to us, well, you know, I'll tell you how religious you've got to be, how many church services you've got to get to, how good you've got to be in your life, how much money you've got to give away. And then you'll know how to get to resurrection. Or maybe he's like a role model. Maybe he says to you and me, live like me. Look at my life. Live your life the way that I've lived my life. And you too can have resurrection from the dead. Well, actually, the verses tell us how Jesus' resurrection means more people can be raised. Have a look. Verse 21 says, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. So Paul is saying that one person can influence everyone. And he says, if you look in the Bible, one person brought death to everyone. And so too, one person can bring resurrection. And he explains further, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now we need to unpick that, because that's using language that we don't normally use. We need to understand, what does he mean when he says, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive? See, we need to understand that we have a particular relationship with Adam, and we can have that kind of relationship with Jesus. What is that relationship? It is that of a captain. That, I think, is a helpful way to understand what Paul means when he talks about being in Adam and in Christ, that they are like our captain. Now, just think about that for a moment. If you've been in a sports team, you know that your captain sometimes represents the whole team. So I once was the captain for my school third 11 cricket team. We weren't a great cricket team. In fact, I don't think we won a single match. But at the beginning of the match, it was my job as captain to walk out to the middle with the captain from the other team. And we would go to the middle and we would toss a coin. And whoever won would then choose whether their team batted or bowled. And at that moment, as I was out in the middle, I was representing our team. You could say, in the language of 1 Corinthians 15, that my team were in me. I represented them. And this is significant, my decisions and the things that I said then impacted the rest of the team. So if I chose to bowl, and I generally did choose to bowl, because if I chose to bat, we would generally get annihilated and the match would be very short. If I chose to bowl, I would then walk back to the team and I would say to the team, we're going to bowl. I wouldn't say, I'm going to bowl, because my decisions actually were the team's decisions. Now, of course, we're used to this on a bigger scale, aren't we? For us as a nation, our leaders normally represent us. If they're meeting with leaders of other nations, they're representing us as a country. And you could say that we are in them, that they embody us, and that the other nation's leaders also embody their nations as well. And if a nation decides to declare war against another nation, then the leaders will say, we are at war, not just I am at war. Their decisions impact us. Well, what if there was a person who represented, was captain of the whole of humanity? Well, the Bible says we do have a captain, and that captain is Adam. And that's why Paul says in verse 22, for as in Adam, all die. Adam is our captain. Now, who was Adam? Well, the Bible says that Adam was the first person that God created. You go right back to the beginning of the book of Genesis and you see God creating everything, and he made people. And the first person he made was Adam. And Adam, God commanded not to eat from a particular tree in the garden that God had put him in. But Adam disobeyed God. And therefore, death came along. Death was the result, was the punishment for Adam disobeying God. But Adam was our captain. It's like he went out to the middle, tossed the coin, and chose death. And therefore he walks back to us and says, well, we're gonna die. And that's true for all of us. With Adam as our captain, we die. Now, it's true also that Adam is our role model, in that we imitate him. We do also sin ourselves. But we do that because we're in the team, because we're in Team Adam, because he's our captain. He won for us death, and we also join in with the sin that he committed as well. We're in Team Adam, and therefore we get what Adam won for us, which is death. So, verse 22, for as in Adam, all die. And the word die, the verb die there, is present tense. And so that's why we see death in the world around us, because we're all in Team Adam. But the great news is there is another captain, and that is, well, it's not Captain Marvel, it's not Captain America, it's Captain Jesus. Sorry about that. That was a bit cheesy, wasn't it? Well, but nevertheless, Jesus is the other captain. And we see that in the verse, don't we? Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. In other words, Jesus is another captain. And the differences between him and Adam are really important. See, whereas Adam was tempted, but yet fell, gave in to that temptation and disobeyed God, Jesus, we see in his life, was tempted, but never gave in to it, never disobeyed God. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells us he was tempted in every way, just as we are, but was without sin. Jesus succeeded where Adam failed. And most importantly, whereas Adam won death for us, Jesus rose to life again. And as our captain, he comes to us and says, with me as your captain, you can have what I have won. You can have life. Now, it's really important to see, Jesus is not just a pioneer or a coach or a role model. Because in each of those things, in the end, it's down to you and me to achieve resurrection from the dead. You've got to live the way Jesus lived, or you've got to obey his teaching in such a way that that you're so religious and so good that you get resurrection, or you've got to follow the route that he took to get to resurrection life. But in the end, it's down to you. No, this is where it's so important to understand we are in Christ, that he is our captain, and what he wins for us. And therefore, do you understand this verse better? Verse 22. For as in Adam, with Adam as your captain, all die, so in Christ, with Christ as your captain, all will be made alive. Now, those alls are significant. It's not actually saying every single person will be resurrected in the way that Paul is talking about here. He's saying all who have Christ as their captain, all who are in Christ, will be raised. Verse 23 makes that clear. If you just look down to the next verse, it says, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. So he's talking about those who belong to Jesus. He's not saying every single person in existence, but he's saying those who belong to him will be resurrected in this kind of way. And verse 23 also tells us the timing, doesn't it? Christ has been raised from the dead, and those who belong to him, when he comes back in the future, will be resurrected. So, do you see how Jesus' resurrection means there will be more people raised? Because if Jesus is your captain, he has won for you resurrection. So is life a tragedy or a comedy? Does it go like that or does it go like that? Well, it depends who your captain is, doesn't it? If all we've got is this life and then death, then it really is a tragedy. But Jesus is saying, I can be your captain. My resurrection can mean you can have resurrection to eternal life. And if that's true, then however hard this life gets, however difficult this life is, we know if we've trusted in Christ, it will end with a glorious upsurge of eternal life, life with Jesus forever. Now, there is more to say about that life, and there's more to say from 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll come on to it. But do you see that Jesus is saying, I can make your life a comedy? And so, if you're not yet a Christian, will you come to Jesus, turn to him, and ask him to be your captain? Will you bow before him as your Lord and ask him to give you the resurrection that only he can win for us? And if you do, and if you have, if you're a Christian, then you can join with Paul, who at the end of the letter, at the end of the chapter, says this. He taunts death. He says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Because if death is not just a tragic end, if it means resurrection life, then death's sting has been drawn and its victory is over. And you can have life forever.